Many people that have not read the Muslim scriptures assume that the Prophet Muhammad had a dark complexion, but Arabs are classified as Caucasians, and they can exhibit a wide variety of shades and tones, particularly in the early years of Islam, when many Muslims, such as the Moors, were depicted as blonde and ginger. Numerous mosques display red hair that allegedly came from Muhammad himself, which many Muslims revere, and so dye their own hair red in honor of the Prophet, as he was also said to have used red henna after the age of 40 to retain a youthful appearance, a practice that was common in antiquity, such as can also be seen on pharaohs such as Ramesses the Great, who at the age of 90 also dyed his hair red, but upon analysis of his follicle roots, was determined to be a natural redhead in his youth. If we want to know what the Prophet Muhammad looked like, we need to go through some of the descriptions of his appearance found in the Hadith, which are a collection of traditions containing sayings of the Prophet with accounts of his daily practice, constitute the major source of guidance for Muslims apart from the Quran. Sahih Bukhari, number 63, narrated by Anas bin Malik. While we were sitting with the Prophet in the mosque, a man came riding on a camel. He made his camel kneel down in the mosque, tied its foreleg, and then said, "Who amongst you is Muhammad?" At that time, the Prophet was sitting amongst us, leaning on his arm. We replied, "This white man reclining on his arm." The man then addressed him, "O son of Abdul Muttalib." The Prophet said, "I'm here to answer your questions." The man said to the Prophet, "I want to ask you something and will be hard in questioning, so do not get angry." Sahih Muslim, Hadith number 1681. It was narrated that Abu Juhayfa said, "I saw the Messenger of Allah with a white complexion and some white hairs. Al-Hasan bin Ali resembled him." Sahih Muslim, Hadith number 6071. It was narrated from Al-Jurari, from Abu At-Tufal. "I said to him, 'Did you see the Messenger of Allah?' He said, 'Yes, he was white with an elegant face.'" The Hadiths go on to tell us about the whiteness of his shins, the whiteness of his thighs, the whiteness of his legs, the whiteness of his stomach, the whiteness of his forearms, the whiteness of his armpits, the whiteness of his cheeks. Not only was the Prophet Muhammad described over and over again as white, but he was the owner of many black slaves. Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith number 7263, narrated by Umar. "I went to the house of the Prophet, and behold, Allah's Messenger was staying in a mashruba, and a black slave of Allah's Messenger was at the top of his stairs. I said to him, 'Tell the Prophet that here is Umar bin al-Khattab.' Then he admitted me." Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith number 6161, narrated by Anas bin Malik. "Allah's Messenger was on a journey, and he had a black slave called Anjasha, and he was driving the camels very fast, and there were women riding on those camels. Allah's Messenger said, 'Wahaika, O Anjasha, drive slowly the camels with the glass vessels or women.'" Sunan An-Nasai, Hadith number 3858, narrated by Abu Huraira. "We were with the Messenger of Allah in the year of Khaybar, and we did not get any spoils of war except for wealth, goods, and clothes. Then a man from Banu Ad-Dabub, who was called Rifai bin Zaid, gave the Messenger of Allah a black slave who was called Midam. The Messenger of Allah set out for Wadi al-Qura. When we were in Wadi al-Qura, while Midam was unloading the luggage of the Messenger of Allah, an arrow came and killed him. The people said, 'Congratulations, you will go to paradise.' But the Messenger of Allah said, 'No, by the one in whose hands is my soul, the cloak that he took from the spoils of war on the day of Khaybar is burning him with fire.' When the people heard that, a man brought one or two shoelaces to the Messenger of Allah and the Messenger of Allah said, one or two shoelaces of fire. The Prophet Muhammad apparently thought that black slaves were worth less than Arab slaves, since he once traded two of his black slaves for an Arab slave that he wanted to set free because the Arab slave had converted to Islam. In the Provisions of the Afterlife, Hadith number 4625 by Jabir bin Abdullah, a slave came and gave his pledge to the Messenger of Allah to emigrate, and the Prophet did not realize that he was a slave. Then to his master came looking for him. The Prophet said, sell him to me. So he bought him for two black slaves. Then he did not accept the pledge of anyone after that until he had asked, is he a slave? In Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith number 7142, by Anas bin Malik, Allah's Messenger said, you should listen to and obey your imam, even if he was an Ethiopian black slave whose head looks like a raisin. Adding that, quote, never will succeed such a nation as makes a woman their ruler. And finally, centuries before Europeans started purchasing African slaves, in Asha Shifa of Qadi Iyad, page 387, it says that Ahmad ibn Suleiman, Sanun's companion, said that whoever says that the Prophet was black is killed. The Prophet was not black. It also says that it is disbelief to alter his description and its details. The one who does that openly is an unbeliever. He is asked to repent. The one who conceals it is a heretic and is killed without being asked to repent. Calling the Prophet Muhammad a black man was a death penalty, which is probably something I should have mentioned in the last video about Mansa Musa, an Islamic ruler of Mali in the 1300s, who was not sub-Saharan or black, despite the lies and propaganda online. He was responsible for establishing a library with tens of thousands of books, with writing being unknown to sub-Saharan hunter-gatherers. As I also stated, Ethiopia had a different demographic in antiquity, as did Sudan, with its many depictions of its blonde and ginger residents, also from the time of Mansa Musa, which should come as no surprise, as ancient Egyptian mummies of pharaohs and nobility were also blonde and ginger, not as a result of the mummification process, but confirmed by DNA and extensive genetic analysis. The Empire of Kush was based on the iron trade and was not a black kingdom, except for its use of slaves and mining. And the notion that these African empires belong to the descendants of the biblical Ham should also be understood in the context that all of Noah's sons, including Ham, were Caucasian, as the term itself comes from the Caucasus region where Mount Ararat is located. I hope that this presentation helps to clarify some of the historic misconceptions that are being disseminated by politically motivated media and academia, which is more concerned with social engineering and political correctness than with accuracy, truth, and scientific correctness. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.